Chapter 6, Gideon's Ambush. In Chapter 4, we talked about Daniel in the lion's den and about the three young Hebrew men in the fire. These men in the stories happened to be captives of Babylon. Also at that time, most people in the entire known world were captives of spiritual Babylon, mystery Babylon, or the world's system as described in Revelation chapter 18. When Daniel and the three Hebrew young men overcame the attacks on their lives in Babylon, the gospel was preached to the entire world or to the captives in mystery Babylon to give them an opportunity for salvation. The story of Gideon, starting in Judges chapter 6, has a similar idea embedded into it. All of Israel was in the Promised Land, including Gideon. But they were all prisoners in their promised land. The Midianites and the Amalekites were causing great suffering and famine on Israel to the point where they were impoverished. But as in the Daniel examples, when Gideon overcame, God used this opportunity to set others free. The suffering of Israel in Gideon's time was caused by their disobedience. Abraham, Daniel, and the three Hebrew young men thrown in the fire suffered as righteous people in God's sight and in His righteousness. It is different with Gideon and the Israelites. They were disobedient. I believe that God chose Gideon because He knew in advance that he would be obedient. God Himself built a close face-to-face relationship with Gideon and led him into God's righteousness through the blood covenant. Then Gideon could make the attack from the Midianites illegal and accomplish the overcoming. The Israelites were still prisoners after they had reached their promised land. Judges 6:1-6 says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels were without number. And they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. For hundreds of years, the Israelites called out to God, and He delivered them in their pain. Then they got into idolatry again and became prisoners to their enemies. Why? Because they did not obey God's voice. Judges 6:10, KJV says, "And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." The Old Testament shows God's people living as prisoners in the Promised Land. This is how the enemy works to trap you. He looks for those works of your flesh, your old nature, that you will not forsake. He convinces you that you do not need to live on the Word of God, but that you can make it for yourself. He convinces you that you do not need to use God's kingdom and His system of bearing fruit. Unforgiveness is a major invitation for the devil to operate in your life. After a while, he latches on to those works, and you can become deceived by a demon. You are not demon-possessed from the inside, but you can become demon-influenced from the outside. These become strongholds, and you feel hopeless. You are a Christian in God's promised land, but you are a prisoner like the people in the Old Testament. The types of prisons that we can experience are numerous: lack of love, low self-esteem, mammon or trusting in the world, other people, or anything else for your material needs rather than God. Other types include self-righteousness, being a victim of abuse, unforgiveness, guilt, bitterness, addictions, sexual sins of many types, gossip, anger, and the list goes on. Some of the most difficult prisons come from rejection. Gideon was not immune from these prisons. He, along with most of Israel, was suffering greatly. What did God do? What did Gideon do? First, let us look at God's strategy. This story of Gideon is a perfect example of how God lures his and your spiritual enemies in order to defeat them. Judges 6:1 through 8:3 is a good read of the entire story. When Satan attacked Jesus by crucifying him, Satan was defeated. Why? Because it is spiritually illegal for Satan to attack a righteous person or a person without sin. It brings a permanent defeat on the demonic perpetrator. Jesus rose from the dead because he was killed illegally. God used the ambush technique. So often evil spiritual beings and evil humans are destroyed by their own attacks. Often in Scripture we read, "They fell into the pit that they dug for others." It is the same with us. Paul knew this when he said in 2 Corinthians 12 that his thorns in the flesh, generational curses, were actually profitable. He also knew by revelation knowledge that his ministry became great by this principle. He knew that profit for the kingdom of God would be a result. So, what about Gideon? The people of Israel were not living a righteous life. They mixed their belief with worship to Baal. So God mentored Gideon in order to make him an illegal target for Satan, in this case, the Midianites and Amalekites. God showed Gideon the blood covenant by the burnt offering he demonstrated. He did the same for Abraham in Genesis 15 and 22. He further sanctified Gideon by having him destroy his father's Baal idol. This was a very risky and bold move, and had the potential and even threat of death to Gideon. Little by little, God led Gideon on the path to become a righteous man, an illegal target for Satan. That is why it was so easy to defeat the Midianites and Amalekites with only 300 men. Rather than just answering prayers to defeat Midianites, God discipled a discouraged man. Gideon was not all that special, but just a suit of working clothes the Holy Spirit wore that day. As it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon," Judges 6:34. Position yourself for God to come to you, like he did come to Gideon, to reveal himself as a deliverer, not only for you, but also to use your pain to deliver others. The Lord discipled Gideon, "Make yourself available." The primary lesson that I want us to learn is that God taught Gideon to hear his voice. Watch and see how the relationship between God and Gideon developed from glory to glory, and how Gideon's character developed as a result. See how Gideon cooperated with God's leading, and how God provided the grace and the power. Gideon learned to obey his voice. That is really all he had to do. That is really all any of us needs to do. Notice, God did not say, "You have not obeyed my laws or my precepts or principles." He said, "You have not obeyed my voice." One's voice is personal compared to laws, commands, and precepts. Voice is personal. It is face to face. It is powerful to hear God's voice. The question is, how desperate are you to hear God's voice? How desperate are you to obey his voice? Scripture is loaded with promises of blessings for those who hear and obey his word. Wisdom in Proverbs refers to Jesus and his voice. Who is the wisdom of God? Proverbs 8:34-36, Amplified Bible says, "Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me, wisdom, finds life, and draws forth and obtains favor from the Lord." But he who misses me or sins against me wrongs and injures himself. All who hate me love and court death. The end of the story is that Gideon was used by God to motivate a victory and freedom for his people, not just for himself. As Isaiah 61 shows, it is God's plan to take his people from being prisoners to being priests. Gideon went from a sufferer to a comforter. He turned his junk into jewels. We can be used as Gideon was, and even to a greater extent. We have the resurrection life of Jesus in us. We can go through our deaths to resurrection, which will also affect many other people. In this study, we're going to see how God worked and still works to turn our prisons into freedom. We will also see how Gideon responded to God so that we may follow his steps for our own lives. Follow Gideon's path in Judges chapter 6. Read these scriptures. 6:1. He was a victim of his forefathers' idol worship. 6:1-11, he was hiding in his wine vat underground in order to avoid the Midianites who would come in hordes and wipe out the crops and steal the livestock. In the same way, today's Midianites, demons, rob the word of God to keep us from being fruitful. 6:8, God spoke to the Israelites. 6:12, God spoke to Gideon personally. Judges 6:12 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" 6:13, Gideon was honest with God. 6:18-21, God revealed himself to Gideon as the covenant-making God. Gideon brought his best to God. Gideon took up his cross. The price of the goat and home-baked bread that Gideon brought was extreme for someone living in circumstances of poverty. Not only that, Gideon cooked soup. Gideon saw the cross of Jesus. It could have just been an expensive meal, but God turned it into a covenant meal. In Leviticus 2:1, the meat or meal offering was to be burnt on the altar by the priest. The fact that the angel of the Lord burned up Gideon's offering with the tip of his staff was a sign of the covenant. I believe that in Gideon's Hebrew mind, he saw a blood covenant that day between himself and God. He saw God exchange power, name, and circumstances with him. The blood covenant changes your family, your name, and your inheritance. Gideon received God's name. God took Gideon's name. Mighty Man of Valor was the Lord's name, and Defeated Weak One was Gideon's name. They swapped. 6:22, Gideon could hear God speak even better now. 6:23-24, he had the peace of God because of the cross, Jehovah Shalom. 6:25-32, Gideon had to tear down family idols. 6:34, after tearing down the idols, Gideon was clothed, possessed with the Spirit of God. Judges 6:34, Amplified Bible says, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him, and he blew a trumpet, and the clan of Abiezer was gathered to him." Gideon had the power of God. Gideon had the sense, faith, and abandonment to obey God and stop obeying the reasoning and natural circumstances in his life. When we turn from idols, we will find the result is always more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The first thing that happened is that the enemy attacked. When we tear down spiritual idols, we can expect a manifestation of the battle in the natural. 6:36-40, he learned to fellowship with God at a very strong level of trust, in spite of circumstances, perhaps even because of them. 7:1-25, God had Gideon reduce an army of Israelites that had gathered to join Gideon in a war against the Midianites from 32,000 people to 300. Then they routed the enemy by breaking pitchers with torches inside of them and blowing trumpets. This eventually became an all-out attack by many more Israelites that joined the battle later. Israel experienced a wonderful victory. Gideon bore fruit for the kingdom of God. He became one of history's most successful deliverers of God's people. In spite of the fact that Gideon had been subject to family sins, curses, and the worshiping of idols, the angel of the Lord, who I believe was a manifestation of Jesus, brought the cross on the scene with the sacrifice and was saying, "There is no way out for you, little boy, except that I take on the curse and sin that you have coming to you. By virtue of this covenant, I am taking your sin, your family curses, your generational sins that are passed down, and results of idol worship both by you and your ancestors. I will take your name, your identity, which is cursed by God, and you will be called by my name, O mighty man of valor." Actually, Gideon means cut her down, hewer. God met Gideon where he was. God did not require him to be someone he was not. But God had faith in him. Gideon learned that you make it not in your own strength, but by the power of God. The end result was fruit for the kingdom of God. There was peace in Israel for 40 years. However, after that, the Israelites went back to their Baal worship. Warning. Do not let up on your intimacy with Jesus. He is the only one who can fill you. Be desperate to hear God's voice. Judges chapter 9, 22 through 35 records a tragic end to this story, which serves as a warning to each one of us. Gideon developed pride in his accomplishments. Although he would not take the people's offer to be their king, he did insist on their donating a vast wealth of gold and other spoils taken from the Midianites to him personally. Then he made a high priest's ephod, or cloak and breast covering, from the gold and cloth for himself. Gideon did not continue to find his reward and fulfillment in the Lord God he had met at the winepress. At that time, Gideon and the Lord were close tight and in communication with one another. God told Abram in Genesis 15:1 that he was not only his shield but also Abram's reward. God knows that when he does something special with a person, that the temptation to be filled with pride can be great. We need to continually be filled with God, so that the lust for other earthly counterfeits will have no attraction to us. In Greek mythology, the Odyssey, the sirens were special sea nymphs who were singing in a very seductive way. Ships full of sailors would pass by. The songs would have a lustful lure to them. Odysseus' ship was no exception. He ordered that the crew stuffed their ears with wax, strapped themselves to the mast of the ship, and hollered loud so that they would not run aground like all the other ships. This is similar to our attempting to regulate our flesh nature. It is not God's way to holiness. Jason, another captain, had the right idea. He hired musicians to be on board who played wonderful songs on their lutes. The crew enjoyed the music so much that the music from the sirens did not tempt them. The result was that the sirens turned to stone. Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that if she drank of his living water, that she would thirst no more. Keep drinking in Jesus, and you will finish with a good report. Allow God to speak to your heart. Listen for Him. Do whatever is necessary to arrange your life to hear God speak. Take time, more and more time, in the Word. Listen to audios, read good authors, speak the Word, soak in the Word. Take time to be quiet with God. Listen more and talk less.